Fielder's on the left side for Judge, and here's the 3-1. Drill deep to left field. There it goes! Number 60! Slide over, babe. You've got some company. Aaron James Judge has tied George Herman Babe Ruth with 60 home runs.
Aaron Judge chasing history and just one off of Roger Maris's American League record of 61 home runs in a single season. We have more on that coming up in the sports ticket. The Yankees had an exciting finish to their game as well. We'll chat about that. And we'll give you an update of the Major League Baseball playoff picture. It's a very baseball-filled sports ticket, an abbreviated sports ticket again this morning here on Kitty Country 94 and KittyCountry94.com. The Kansas City Royals were back in action after having Monday off. And also, Canada may be lifting their vaccination rules. So we'll talk about that and how that impacts not just baseball, but other professional sports as well. So stay tuned for all that here on the sports ticket on Kitty Country 94 and KittyCountry94.com. Before we get to all that, we did have a lot of area teams playing volleyball last night in high school ranks as Beloit got a sweep over Sacred Heart in Beloit. North Central Activities Association play. They beat Sacred Heart in the first match 25-8, 25-9, and they won the second 25-9, 25-16. Beloit now 20-3 on the season and 4-0 in the NCAA. In the Mid-Continent League, Smith Center picked up two more wins. They beat Trigo 25-10 and 25-4. They beat Norton 25-13 and 25-19. Lady Red now 11-2 on the season. Both of their losses, again, came this past weekend to Beloit at the Republic County Tournament. So against teams not named Beloit, Smith Center is 11-0 so far this season. Rock Hills Triangular, St. John's Tipton picks up a couple wins in the Northern Plains League. They beat Lakeside 25-19 and 25-22. Beat Rock Hills 25-14, 25-16. The Lady Jays are now 13-2 overall this season. Lakeside beat Rock Hills 25-16, 22-25, and 25-16. As the Lady Knights improved to 9-5, they go 1-1 again last night there in Maine. Cato. Southern Cloud Triangular in Miltonvale. Osborne winning over Southern Cloud 27-25, 25-16. Lincoln beat Osborne in three. Osborne won the first 25-13, but Lincoln won the next two 25-19, 25-20. Lincoln over Southern Cloud in three 23-25, 25-14, and 25-21. Lincoln goes 2-0 to improve to 10-8 on the season. Osborne 1-1. They're 7-7 on the year. The Chase Triangular, Sylvan Lucas over Chase, 25-5, 25-6. They beat Wilson 25-19, 25-17. The Lady Mustangs are now 17-2 this season. A great start for Linda Herring's crew down there in Sylvan Grove. Wilson beating Chase in two in the other match there in Chase. Natoma Triangular, Natoma over Pike Valley in three, and they also beat Tescott in three. So the Lady Tigers picking up two wins. Pike Valley went 1-1 as they beat Tescott in two in the middle match there in Natoma. Full scores are posted for all of the high school volleyball matches for our area teams at nckssports.com. We, again, thank all of the folks that send us regularly those scores so we can update the website and have it real fresh right there, right away on game night. It's ideal for us to have that, and we love having that updated on game night so people can go look at the updated standings, the score schedules, everything you need for the latest in local sports. Again, right there at nckssports.com. Coming up tonight in high school sports notes, we have our high school football locker room chats. We'll chat with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. Myself and Jason Broadfoot talking with the coaches about week three and heading into week four. And you can listen to those, as always, on Katy Country 94 and also online at katycountry94.com. If you ever miss them, you can listen to them on demand on the Locker Room Chat podcast at katycountry94.com as well. Thursday night, we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. And then Friday night, high school football for you on Katy Country 94. The plan right now, Osborne is hosting Lakeside in district action. Pregame coverage at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. And on nckssports.com online video stream, the Beloit Trojans channel. Trojans open district play in Class 2A at Russell. Wade Gershon will be calling the action there from Russell on Friday night. So we're looking forward to week four of the high school football season with our locker room chats and play-by-play coverage.
Salvi flips it up the right field line, and that is fair. Salvador Perez picks up the Royals and gets Bobby Witt Jr. to the plate.
The Kansas City Royals open a three-game series with a win over the Twins, 5-4 on Tuesday night at Kauffman Stadium. They got down 3-0 in the second, but they rallied, finished with that one-run win. MJ Melendez, a two-run homer in the third to cut the lead to 3-2, and Hunter Dozier had a solo home run to tie the game in the fifth. Bobby Witt Jr. drove in a run to give the Royals a 4-3 lead after five. Twins would tie it in the sixth at four, but Salvador Perez, as you heard moments ago, getting that RBI to drive in Witt Jr. and give the Royals the eventual 5-4 win. Dylan Coleman was the winning pitcher. He's now 5-2. Scott Barlow registered his 20th save of the year, striking out 3 1⅔ innings. As Royals manager Mike Matheny chats about his young group and having that resilience to pick up a win in a tough situation.
Just the resiliency and they keep coming. Even though we made mistakes on the bases still, all right, next guy's got to pick us up. Salvi coming through in a big situation, but, you know, double from the top of our order. And I thought, making the most of some opportunities too. Eaton get on, steals a bag, does a dirt ball read, those sort of things in tight games make a big difference. But just putting pressure offensively, Vinny taking walks, just kind of action on the bases all day long.
Royals are now 59-89 on the season, while the Twins drop to 73-75. Game 2 of 3 is tonight in Kansas City. Daniel Lynch is 4-11 with a 5.15 ERA. He'll start on the mound for the Royals against Bailey Ober of the Twins, who's 1-2, 3.49 ERA. Things will get started at 7:10 tonight at the K. Again, the Royals pretty much out of the race right now, but you do like the fact that they're fighting and staying right in there and trying to salvage some wins here this season at the end of the year. Wade was joking about it the other day. Usually in September, the Royals are coming up and winning a lot of games. They have a few of those September call-ups that do some good things and make you feel real positive about what the Royals are doing moving forward and give you a chance to think positive things about the Royals coming up in 2023. But right now, they're not finishing the season like they maybe would normally. But a win there against the Twins goes in a different direction of that. The Royals do need, 59-89 now. They do need to win four more games to avoid fully a 100-loss season. That would mean they'd have to finish the season at 4-10 if they just have 14 games left here this year. We'll see if they can get on that run that they like to do sometimes in September and maybe make it a salvageable season from the standpoint of not losing triple digits. Man, again, it was a season where we were definitely expecting something much better than this. Adalberto Mondesi with the early injury this year. What's new, right, with Mondesi being hurt? And then pitching just hasn't caught up, and development of pitching has been an issue. There was a story that I saw the other day that the problems with the Royals' pitching development is really starting to show within their organization. Right now it's starting to show? Well, I mean, how long have we been talking about the Royals' pitching development being a major issue with this team? You can take it all the way back to 2013 when they traded Will Myers to the Rays for pitching, for James Shields and Wade Davis, and then they traded a bunch of pitching prospects in 2015 for pitching for Johnny Cueto and also for Ben Zobrist. But again, they had this plan ready to win games, and even back then, in the early 2010s, we could tell that this team had issues developing pitching, and it's just continued. It's never stopped. And it was just weird to me to see that story the other day that the lack of pitching development is really showing right now with the Royals. Yet you think, where you been the last 10 years, man? Anyway, I digress. We'll move on from the Royals because that's depressing. Yeah, you heard earlier Aaron Judge became just the sixth player in Major League Baseball history to hit 60 home runs in a season. He tied Babe Ruth for second most in a single season in the American League on Tuesday night and pulled within one of Roger Maris's record of 61. The home run from Judge started off a big rally for the Yankees that ended with a bang.
Now the Yankees are trying to win the game. That one's drilled to left field. Is it high enough? See ya! A walk-off grand slam! And the Yankees win! Judge hit 60, and the Yankees win in walk-off fashion.
Giancarlo Stanton hit the walk-off home run there. The Pirates were feeling good going into the final inning with a 4-run lead, 8-4, and then Judge hits the home run to make it 8-5, and then the walk-off grand slam, again, from Giancarlo Stanton, gives the Yankees the 9-8 win over the Pirates. The Yankees are continuing to roll on. They're leading the American League East now with a record of 89-58. They are 5.5 ahead of the Blue Jays in the American League East. More on the Blue Jays coming up in Toronto. And what the postseason might mean and look like for the Blue Jays as we get closer to that, as they are in a position right now in a wild card spot to play in the postseason. As for Aaron Judge, he'll have a chance to tie Maris tonight as the Yankees again face the Pirates at Yankee Stadium at 6:05. We're waiting on Albert Pujols as well. He did not get to 699 last night. We're looking for Pujols to hit that 700 home run mark as the season kind of rolls and gets close to an end here. Wade's one that says that he thinks he's going to get stuck on like 698 or 699. He's right at 698 right now. You know, my hope is, over the next 13 or 14 games, whatever it is the Cardinals have left, that Pujols can get to at least 700 and become just the fourth ever player to achieve that in Major League Baseball history. Right now he's number 4 on the list in all-time home runs, but trying to be that fourth one to get to 700 in his career. So we'll continue to track that, and obviously we're going to continue to track Aaron Judge and his possible breaking of Roger Maris's American League home run record. We all know that Sammy Sosa has 66, Mark McGwire had 70, and Barry Bonds had 72. Those are the record holders for the most home runs in a single season. Aaron Judge now, again, just the sixth player in Major League Baseball history to hit 60 or more in a single season. He has multiple opportunities left for the Yankees to get to 62, which would break the American League record. Don't think he's going to be able to get to 72 and hit Barry Bonds' record, but we'll obviously keep track of that, and Aaron Judge is really hitting the cover of the ball off here lately and continuing to blast home runs and getting closer and closer to that American League record. Baseball season is winding down, as we've talked about already here in the Sports Ticket, and kind of looking at some of the standings and where everybody lies right now. The Houston Astros are the one team that have clinched their playoff spot in the American League. They've won the AL West already. They're 98-51 on the season. They're 8 games ahead of the Yankees in the race for that number one seed in the American League. The Yankees at 89-58 are 5.5 games ahead of the Blue Jays, as we mentioned, in the AL East. In the AL Central, the Guardians were down going into the ninth inning, but they would come back and pick up a win. They scored 5 runs in the 11th against the White Sox and picked up a win over Chicago. The Guardians are now 5 games ahead of the White Sox at 81-67. So those are your division leaders right now. If the playoffs started today, the Yankees, Guardians, and Astros would be the division winners. The Blue Jays at 84-64, Mariners 81-65, and Rays at 82-66 would be the wild card teams. The Orioles are 5.5 games behind that at 76-71. So it does appear that it looks pretty good for the Astros, Yankees, Guardians, Blue Jays, Mariners, and Rays to be those 6 teams that will make the postseason in the American League. If the season ended today, that's what it would look like, and it's looking ever so much like that could be the case. In the National League, the Dodgers have the best record in baseball, and they are just on a tear. 103-44, they've clinched the National League West. They're 22 games ahead of the Padres. They're 9.5 games ahead of the Mets, who are having a great year at 95-55. They're 1 game ahead of the Braves, who are 93-55. So there's 3 teams that are playing very, very well, and 3 teams that have better records than the second best team in the American League. Again, the Astros are the second best team in the majors right now with that 98-51 record. But again, the Mets 95-55, but still just 1 game ahead of the Braves there in the NL East. The Cardinals have a 9-game lead over the Brewers at 87-61 in the National League Central. So again, right now it'd be the Dodgers, Mets, and Cardinals would be the division winners. The playoffs started today, and your wild card teams would be the Braves, Padres, and Phillies, but a little bit closer in the National League. The Braves, again, at 93-55, they've actually already clinched a playoff berth. It's just a matter of will they win the division or will they be a wild card team fighting with the Mets in that aspect. The Padres are 81-66, Phillies 80-67, but the Brewers are 78-70, just 2.5 games behind the Phillies there for that final wild card spot in the National League. So it'll be interesting to see how this season finishes. And if I was going to make predictions, I would say that the Brew. I don't know. I feel like the those three teams that I mentioned are still going to be those wild card teams. I don't know if the Brewers have enough to get over the Phillies here in the end and take that last spot. But we shall see, as, again, we are coming down to the wire about anywhere from 12 to 15 games left for each team in the major leagues right now, roughly, and we'll keep an eye on how all that plays out here in the Major League Baseball playoffs upcoming. One team that does, again, appear like they're going to make the playoffs is the Toronto Blue Jays. And this is just it's an interesting story here. It was announced or kind of maybe leaked on Tuesday that Canada is likely to drop the vaccine requirement for people who enter their country by the end of September. We know around here that was a huge deal, and the move impacts professional athletes who travel to Canada for these games. The vaccine requirement, was well documented in these parts back right before the All-Star break when the Royals were headed up to Canada to take on the Blue Jays and play in a four-game series there. And obviously the hubbub around that was that 10 Royals players were not allowed to play in the series because they weren't vaccinated. They were not allowed to enter Canada because they were not vaccinated. And one of those players was Whit Merrifield, and that brought on the whole conversation and his comments saying, hey, I don't believe in the vaccine. I've done the research. The science shows me that it's just not something that I want to put in my body. I don't want to do it. I feel like I've done enough research that I don't really believe in needing the vaccine. And then right after he says all that, if I was going to play for a team that might make the postseason, I might change my mind. Well, and then the fun part was, obviously, it's well documented. We know that Whit Merrifield was traded by the Royals to the Toronto Blue Jays, and upon entering Canada, immediately got the vaccine, changed his mind about everything, and decided, oh, yeah, I should probably get that vaccine if I want to play in Canada for the Blue Jays and if I want to enter that country and be a part of that. So that was the big story and the big hubbub. Well, now, if it had been, 2.5, 3 months later, Whit Merrifield wouldn't even had to made those comments, never would have had to worry about it. Those 10 Royals players would have played in this series earlier this season against the Blue Jays had we just been fast-forwarded like 3 months ahead and Canada had lifted their vaccine mandate for people that are entering the country. So, again, it looks like it's not going to be the case anymore, so that does affect a lot of people that would be going to Canada for professional sports, not just baseball, and we'll touch upon that here momentarily, but it is interesting, though, with all of the big story that the Royals were not the only team that had to have guys sit out of their series against the Blue Jays this year when they went to Canada. But it was more documented and more widely covered because there were so many of them. There were 10 of them that didn't play, and then Whit Merrifield with his comments, and then he ended up playing for the Blue Jays. Just all kind of ironic in the end. I don't know if the Royals traded him purposely to the Blue Jays or not. We still haven't figured that part of it out. No, that was probably the best opportunity that they felt that they had, the best trade that they had, and so the Blue Jays were willing to make that, knowing that Whit Merrifield would change his mind all of a sudden and get the vaccination. But with the vaccine mandate being lifted and Canada allowing professional players to come into their country and play, that means that if and when the Blue Jays would make the playoffs or play postseason games in Toronto, that would not be required anymore, that the athletes can come into Canada and play those games. And in the NBA, the teams that would be going to play the Toronto Raptors, right? The NBA had already informed their players that they would still need to either have received the vaccine or been given a medical exemption or medical clearance from getting the vaccine before they could go play in Canada. But with this lifting of the mandates there and everything that they're doing in Canada, that would no longer be necessary in the NBA either. There are a lot of hockey teams in Canada, so that's a big difference between baseball and basketball. And the NHL was actually on top of that. They knew this going into last season, and nearly every player in the NHL was vaccinated. They really didn't have any issues. There was one player for the Red Wings, and I forgot to put his name in my rundown here. I don't know that it really matters that much, but for the NHL, there's so many teams in Canada that they knew that this was going to be an issue, so they wanted to have everybody vaccinated. And again, nearly all the NHL players, the vast majority, were vaccinated last year, and so it's not even an issue anyway. It doesn't matter. At this point, you have to have the regular vaccine cycle. The boosters aren't required, things of that nature were never required. You just had to have the series of vaccines to start. And again, these restrictions are not just in Canada. These restrictions are for a lot of world travel, and were taking place for a lot of world travel. So, but now it does appear that, again, Canada will be lifting that vaccine mandate for players to enter their country, or anybody to enter their country. I think this is not just a mandate that's being lifted just because of athletes. Clearly, it's a mandate being lifted just to get into Canada in general if you're traveling there. So, we're starting to see the end of some of these things with the COVID-19 pandemic. And, it's obviously a good thing if we can get to the end of some of these things and move forward. And that's where we're at. And Canada, again, apparently will be lifting their vaccination mandate to get into the country. Again, a lot of baseball today that we talked about, but again, this Canada thing affects all pro sports that we've talked about. Not really football, because the NFL didn't play in Canada, just the CFL up there. But we'll have a lot more talk about football coming up clearly tomorrow and Friday as well as coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned on the Sports Ticket. We'll be joined by Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, talk about that big win at Houston. KU 3-0 in football. Should be an exciting chat this week with Brian Haney, so stay tuned for that. The voice of the Jayhawks will be joining us tomorrow around 9:30 on the Sports Ticket on Kitty Country 94. We have previews of college football coming up later this week on the Sports Ticket. We'll have a preview of the Chiefs as they've had some time off now and get prepared for the game Sunday against the Colts. So listen and stay tuned for all that here on the Sports Ticket on Thursday and Friday on Kitty Country 94 and kittycountry94.com. Big thanks to everybody for listening to this abbreviated version of the Sports Ticket today. Have a great day, everybody.